Nice. Matches your coat, too. Roll call.
Roll call for Tuesday, January 20th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks. Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
We're glad to have Levi Mann back. Apparently his teacher's insisted he had to go set his teacher straight about his homework yesterday. So we got all that taken care of. The prayer this morning is by Pastor Minder.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another new day. We thank you that your mercies are new and great is your faithfulness. And this morning, Father, I want to pray for these six senators. For my neighbor on Plainview, Senator Johnson from Cheyenne. For Senator Charles Scott from Casper. For Senator Floyd Escobel and his grandson Tay, who struggles with cerebral palsy, from Cheyenne. For Senator John Hastert from Green River. For Senator Larry Hicks from Bags. And the Queen of the Senate, the Rose Among the Thorns, Senator Bernadine Kraft from Rock Springs. May her voice be heard among all this testosterone. And Father, we thank you also for the clerks, the assistants, the pages, all the people here behind the scenes that make this thing flow so smoothly. Pray that you would give them strength and endurance for this session. Thank you how they make President Nicholas look almost as good as Tony did. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, not everybody can wear a shiny suit. Please join me with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is the journal. Before we review the journal, though, Chairman Wasserberger was finally prepared to show us his journal book. Notice the color? Matches his coat. Will the reading clerk please read Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January the 19th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. New business of the day. We have our physician, Dr. Healy from Cheyenne. Give him a welcome. We'd like to stop the flu from going around here, if you can solve that problem. Kara Walters is from Ivinson. Is Kara here? She's maybe on the other side. She's our nurse of the day. Today in Wyoming, in 1915, dice shake and other games of chance were banned in Laramie. Thought of the day, when you're courting a nice girl, an hour seems like a second. When you sit on a red-hot cinder, a second seems like an hour. That's reality. Albert Einstein. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January 19, 2015. Messages, third reading, passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 37, Telephone Assistance Program Repeal, ayes 60. House Bill number 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits, repeal. Ayes 53, noes 7. House Bill number 40, Insurance Adjusters Portable Electronic Devices. Ayes 60. House Bill number 64, UCC Title I and Title VII Revisions. Ayes 54, noes 6. From the House of Representatives, January the 19th, 2015, message, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 38, PAC Campaign Limits and Funding, ayes 45, noes 15. House Bill number 55, Solid Waste Program Amendments, ayes 60. House Bill number 65, State Employees Group Insurance, County Employees, ayes 58, noes 2. And House Bill 67, Wyoming Retirement System Amendments, ayes 57, noes 3. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
I think our nurse today, Carol Walters, actually Walters is back. Is that, if you'd give her a warm welcome.
Do you have any committees?
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
Lady and gentlemen of the Senate, above the president are some fine young kids from Torrington High School. They're down here to watch us in our work, learn a little bit about what we do. And if you get a chance to talk to them because they're from Goshen County and they are the sage of the West. So, Mr. President, please help me welcome the kids from Goshen County.
Senator Bebout. Thank
you, Mr. President. May I privilege the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I'm going to crank up on you. And you're going to see more and more bills come up every day as the committees do their work. One of the things that I wanted to just share with you, and certainly the veterans understand this, but maybe for the new ones, and yet to remind all of you, as we do committee of the whole second reading and third reading amendments, it's just a courtesy that you provide, if you have an amendment to a bill, that you go to that sponsor or to the chairman of that committee, if it's a committee bill, let them know that you're considering bringing a bill so they don't show up and there's an amendment on their desk about that bill, and it might even be controversial. So as a courtesy, strictly up to you, but I would ask you that you consider that. Thank you, Mr. President.
A reminder, it's more important here because we distribute the amendments so late, so you don't get your amendment package till right before you sit down. So it's important to share your amendments. Okay, I think we're at that order of business, the introduction of bills. Thank you. Senate File 83, first reading.
Senate File 83, Parole Board Authority, sponsored by Senator Escobel.
Senate File 83, having been read the first time, is assigned to committee number one, Judiciary. Senate File 91, first reading.
Senate File 91, Charter School Eligibility Bonus Payments, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File number 4 is assigned, Senate File number 91 is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. Senate Joint Resolution number 6, first reading.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, Sage Grouse, sponsored by Senator Hicks.
Senate Joint Resolution number 6 is assigned to Committee number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 90, first reading.
Senate File 90, Medicaid Chiropractor Services 2, sponsored by Senator Geis.
Senate File 90 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 89, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 89, Supplemental Budget Bill Voting Requirement, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 89 is assigned to Committee Number 12, Rules. Reports from standing committees.
January the 19th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 71, Recreation Safety Act, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. January the 19th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. Senator Coe.
Have privilege of the floor.
You may.
In the balcony, I'm not quite sure where they are. Oh, they're up here on the left side, is the Youth for Justice group from Cody, and I'm sure you've all seen them around. They made the 390-mile drive down here. They're pretty effective lobbyists. They do a pretty good job what they do. They're accompanied by Deb White, who's a teacher at Cody High School. She's a nationally board-certified teacher. Very proud of her. Also proud of the fact that School District 6 has the highest percentage of nationally board-certified teachers in the state of all the districts. So 390 miles, they came down to see everybody. Please welcome them. Yeah.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, I assume we're back on second reading right now.
We're on second reading.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask or request that Senate File 5, the Quebec 1, Historic Site 3, be laid back for 2 days while we're trying to get some research done on the questions that were posed during the Committee of the Whole.
Without objection, Senate File 5 will be laid back for 2 days, so it'll be laid back to
Thursday.
Friday?
Thursday, Mr.
Thursday. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, request on Senate Joint Resolution number 2. We're trying to work out an amendment on the two-thirds issue that was raised in Committee of the Whole yesterday, and we're having trouble getting the language exactly right, and we ask it to be laid back one day while we try to get that right.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution number 2 is laid back for one day. Senator Bebout, did that take care of Senator Christensen?
Without objection, I'd ask that Senate File 12 be laid back one day for second reading.
There being no objection, Senate File 12 is laid back, and I apologize. You said one day or 2 days?
One day, Mr.
One
President.
Day. So based upon that action, we've laid back Senate File 5 for 2 days. Senate File 12 is being laid back for one day. And Senate Joint Resolution number 2 is being laid back for one day. So now we will consider on second reading the balance of the bills. The first bill for consideration on second reading is Senate File 24. The reading clerk will read the bill. Okay, mic is on.
Mine's on. Shows it.
Senate File 24 having been read 2 times. The question is, shall it be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 25, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 25, cease and transfer priority list.
I don't see any amendments. Senate File 25, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 30, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 30, Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund.
We have an amendment. Senator Meyer.
I move second reading number 1 to Senate File 30, ask for the body's favorable consideration. I think we had a good discussion yesterday on the guard and the trade.
Oh, pardon me. Excuse me.
Yes.
We didn't get that read in. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment, please?
Senate File 30, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 11.
I apologize, then, and if you would move the amendment. Then
okay. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 30. We had a good discussion, Mr. President, on grazing fees and the difference between the guard fees and other public land fees. And a good deal of the discussion was we need to get a return back on our investment, which is the land which is grazed up at the guard facilities up in Guernsey. So what this amendment does, Mr. President, is provide for that return on investment by stating that in Romanet I is that the amount equal to the average amount per acre for grazing leases on state lands into the general fund. And, Mr. President, that probably should have been per animal unit. So I may come back and have a corrective third reading amendment. But essentially, whatever we get for state land on an equal basis, we're going to get that same amount going to the general fund for the guard. Now, the excess, Mr. President, says any excess received from the range management operations goes into a fund established by this section. But, Mr. President, it will be subject to the appropriation process in the same manner as other earmarked funds. And some of the other earmarked funds we have, Mr. President, the canteen funds at DOC, they're part of the budget. You get a report about how much revenue was in there, how much expenditures they had in restocking the canteen products. The same type of oversight is in the Liquor Commission where we get a report on how much revenue is in the Liquor Commission, how much excess goes into the general fund, and how much is used to restock those. Essentially, what will happen in this case, Mr. President, is along those same lines. You get a report on how much revenue went into the general fund, what those other funds were used for, the expenses occurred, and the revenue picture about how that was generated from the leases. So you get a full transparency of what's going on, but the guard has the flexibility to know that they have the funding that they need to meet their obligations and their liabilities that are contained within the contractual obligations of the lease. And so that's what we're trying to provide for, Mr. President. Stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator
Debauer. Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just a question for the sponsor, and I appreciate him sharing with me and taking a look at it and discussing it. I just have I want to further discuss the amendment on line 8, the appropriation process in the same manner as other earmarked funds, to give that a little more discussion. I think, Mr. President, the discussion we had yesterday and what we were really concerned about is the continuous appropriation. And I recognize that this is a compromise between that by doing what you've done with the AUMs and then saying that it would be in the same manner as other earmarked funds. But I want to be sure that we do have a look at that, that the Appropriations Committee and the legislature has an opportunity, if they don't particularly like the way that is earmarked, that they have a say in being able to change that. So could we have some more discussion on that?
Senator Von Slater.
Since for the sponsor of the amendment, one of them would the National Guard still be able to ask? I realize it says subject to the appropriation process, but in the future, would they be able to come back and say, we need an extra $12,000 for this and out of that grazing fee? The other one is, how often do they redo the average, where you state the average of amount per acre for grazing? How often would they do that? And is that readily available every year? Some department does that average cost. I don't know that.
Mr. Chairman, to speak to the earmarked funds, the notion is that they would be appropriated, but they wouldn't be treated as general funds. They'd be, and we see a number of other things where they've got other revenues that get appropriated. I think you see it all through the Title 33 professions and licensure, where you get their own funds being appropriated, be appropriated in that same manner, but would still come through the normal appropriations process was the concept that we were developing, that was a reasonable compromise. We do have, Mr. President, an obligation. We're charging extra above the normal state average for grazing fees because we're providing extra services. We've got an obligation to provide those services. So we're essentially splitting the baby and saying, okay, the $5, whatever that average is currently and does gradually change over time, that goes to the general fund. That's the return on our investment. But we're charging more than normal grazing fees and providing more services. We got to provide them. So that this splits it out that way. And it would still be subject to appropriation. You know, the Appropriations Committee could say, no, that's unreasonable what you're proposing to do. I would hope they would not, because we really, in fairness, should not be trying to charge the extra if we're not providing the services. So that's my take on that one. I hope that answers that question.
This is final discussion. Senator Anderson. Nope. Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment?
Just quickly, I would say I would hope that you would look upon this amendment as being friendly and favorable I think it reaches a compromise in most all those areas that were debated yesterday. Hope that you'd give it your favorable support as well as the bill going forward.
Any further discussion? Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, I would yield to Senator Landon first.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. Just real quickly, I did want to reflect on some of the comments of our majority floor leader. I will say that having served on that Transportation Military Affairs Committee for quite some time, that on a yearly basis, that Camp Guernsey report is really quite detailed, and it's provided every year to that committee. Whether or not we want to amend in on third reading something that requires further reporting on that, you know, I guess we could certainly do that. But I did want to help all of you senators know that that's a pretty detailed report, and we've always gotten a pretty good knowledge of what's going on up there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, for my second time, and my colleague from Natrona County explained that, and that was my understanding as well. Not sure that happens very often where the Appropriations Committee doesn't do what's recommended with the earmarked funds, but that's another issue. Mr. President, the thing that ties this, and I want to be sure everybody understands, when you go to the bill on page 3, lines 8, you know, there's already some language that will be in law that says how those funds shall be used, and so that sort of limits in some ways what the Appropriations Committee would be able to do, yet that's pretty broad, so it I think it probably covers it.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, I believe State Lands looks at those averages every year. I'll double-check with State Lands and make sure that's something that's in the process, but I remember when I was on Ag, I thought we got a report whenever we wanted it, and so I think it's relatively simple to get. As far as extra appropriations, it's not any different than any other agency. If they have a contingency thing where they feel they need to ask for them, they can always ask, but Appropriations Committee a lot of times just says no, you know, so that's just the rules of the game about more funds. There is that oversight from Appropriations. There are some times, I recall, when we have looked at earmarked funds, these type of funds, and asked some pretty probing questions to get right down to just exactly how they spend the funds and what they're using them for, and I'm sure we'll get that type of information in detail from the military department. Thank you, Mr. President.
The question is on the amendment, second reading number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. There are no further amendments. Senate File 30 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 31, second reading.
Senate File 31, Department of Health reports cleanup.
There are no amendments. Senate File 31 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 34, second reading.
Senate File 34, Interstate Mining Compact Commission membership.
There are no amendments. Senate File 34, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 44, second reading.
Senate File 44, large project funding.
No amendments. Senate File 44 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
There was a request yesterday from the floor, from members of the floor that wanted to know where this was at. This goes over the 5 projects and talks about the leverage of each one of those projects. It It's informational. Mr. President, I just wanted to bring that to the body's attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that further explanation, Senate File 44 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. That takes us to bills on third reading. Do we have any? There are no bills on third reading.
Okay, so we're ready to go to general file.
Senator Meyer, you may.
Mr. President. Folks, we got another fine group of young men and women from Torrington High School that's come down here to join us to look at our process. And as I said before, if you get a chance to talk to any of these young individuals, they can set you straight because they're from that great land of Goshen and they know what's going on up there. But please help me welcome them to the Senate.
Sure.
Hey.
The only bill on third reading was laid back, so there is no third reading today. That takes us, to, barring other work, we're on that order of business. Mr. Majority, floor of leader, bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole to discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been carried. Call on Senator Peterson to approach the desk.
Committee of the Whole, come to order. First bill for our consideration is not on my desk yet. Here they are. The Senate File 58. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 58, State Park Officers' Benefits, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 58, State Park Officers Benefits. There are no amendments, and I yield to myself to explain the bill. Senate File 58 deals with disability and death benefits for state park rangers. There's an interim committee bill. Currently, state park officers or park rangers are sworn peace officers that post-trained and are members of the public employee retirement plan rather than the law enforcement plan. There are currently 21 post-certified officers, and they provide full-time service law enforcement to the parks and serve nearly 4 million visitors in 2014. What this bill does is that these individuals serve just as any other law enforcement official. In fact, one of our state park officers was shot. He has recovered. But this would allow these officers to participate in death and disability benefits, just as other officers. The cost to the general fund is $15,000 to get this actuarially up and going. In addition, there is a 1% of the cost of this coverage would be contributed by the agency, and the testimony is that the agency can absorb that within their budget already. And so the purpose of this is to afford these very officers death and disability benefits if, in fact, they're injured while in the line of duty or they're killed in the line of duty. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman, and would ask that that you give this bill its favorable consideration.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just one question on this. On page 2, line 1, just for clarification, it says if the officer's disability or death or duty connected. My question is if the officer's walking down the sidewalk and he trips and permanently injures his back now, is that part of this, or is this, I guess that's a clarification I want, if it's as a result of some confrontation or if it's just an accidental. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, to answer that question, it would only be if it's in the line of duty. So if they're walking home and they trip and fall, it would not be covered. But if it's within the line of duty, yes, it would be covered.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, question. Are these officers covered by workers' comp?
Senator Ross.
The officers should be covered by workers' comp. I'm not exactly certain, but I believe that they are covered by workers' comp, just as any other individual that serves the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, to what extent, then, does this essentially double up on the benefit payments if they recover both from this and from workers' comp?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clearly, under workers' comp, there are death benefits that are paid if you're injured while doing your work in that regard. And this one, as my understanding, and we can double check on that, that they would be treated the same way as they would under workers' comp if, in fact, they're covered, which I believe they are covered. However, this treats, I mean, if you look at the like a DCI situation, same situation where they would be covered under workers' comp, yet this is an additional thing if they lose their life in the line of duty, and that's the purpose of this. So I think we've got it covered both ways, but we can for sure get some more information for you.
Further discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, so with respect, so as I understand this, we're going to assess 1% of the salary, but it's going to be paid for by the state. And if the state parks is paying it, that means that we'll be appropriating that funds in the future for them to pay the contribution. So there's no contribution, as I understand, by the employee. And more importantly, do we have an assessment with respect to whether or not that 1% is sufficient to pay for all these contributions so that there will be no dilution or taxing on the large fund responsible for the making the payments?
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The testimony we had folks in Wyoming Retirement there, and the testimony was that with the modest appropriation that's in the bill, and then the 1% that would be sufficient, and would it be actuarially sound under those provisions? That's what the testimony was in committee.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, we've learned now that you can't just ask whether it's actuarially sound. You have to ask whether it's actuarially sound over a period of 30 years. Did they answer that, or is it only actuarially sound for a few years?
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, I had a question about as I look at this bill of how much insurance are they going to have?
Your mic is clear.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question about how much insurance is going to be furnished, and also another question is if the officer wants more insurance, can he purchase that at his own cost?
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Answering the questions in order they were given, I believe that when we talked with the folks from the Wyoming Retirement System, that they indicated that it would be sound, that we're looking over the long period, over the 30-year period. They've looked at the number that they think would be subject to this and would draw on this, and ultimately that would be sound. But we can certainly double check that and make sure. I don't know that we ever asked the specific question or the discussion was with respect to 30 years, but we can certainly and will check on that, Mr. Chairman. In answer to the second question about insurance, this is not an insurance plan. This is a benefit plan. And so what we're doing is paying into the law enforcement death and disability benefit plan that's funded by the state between employer contributions and employee contributions. That is a separate a part of the Wyoming Retirement System and a separate benefit in that plan, as I understand it. And so there's no additional amount that they can purchase. They're just in the plan, and the benefit is what the benefit is.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The contribution then is still being made by the state of Wyoming. Was the discussion about whether the employee should have to pay a portion of the contribution. Law enforcement officers are called upon to pay a portion of their retirement.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, this is not into the police officers' retirement fund. The state park peace officers are not in the law enforcement retirement fund. This is only for that portion for disability and death benefits.
Further discussion. President Nicholas.
I understand that with respect to it being disability and death, but it is part of the defined contribution plan as part of it, and there's a cost associated with it. And in this instance, the proposal is the state picks up the entire cost, and there's no employee contribution. In most of these, in many of the accounts, there is a portion allocated to the employee. Did the committee consider any allocation to employee towards his own benefits?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the way the President explained that is exactly correct. These peace officers are under the big plan for their retirement, but under the disability part, they would be under the law enforcement. And, yes, that discussion was had. And the feeling was that since they were taken out of their existing budget, 1% would come from the state parks budget itself. There would not be a separate line item. They would absorb that cost if that was the way we would handle it. It's a minimal amount, but not that means a lot. But yet, when you look at the actuarial soundness of it, clearly, in the testimony given to the committee, maybe not during the interim, but when we did this bill last year, and by the way, Mr. Chairman, your committee, the Senate Appropriation, killed this bill last year because there were some problems with the bill. We resolved those problems. We came back, and this is the bill that we came back with. And there's no the fund will be actuarially sound. We can get confirmation of that from the WRS, the Wyoming Retirement System, to show that. But clearly, that will not be a problem.
President Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, if the committee decided that it's the state's burden to pick this entire percent up, and that's the recommendation, then the floor can consider that. But I would take issue with respect to how the allocation works, because what happens then is that, sure, the first year of the appropriations, state parks will say, we will pick it up out of our budget. They'll pay that, and then the Chapter 17 reconciliations that come back, their budget for salaries will be increased by the 1%, and then it's going to be doubled the next biennium. So this is not something where the cost is repeatedly year after year picked up as part of their budget. Rather, they just pick it up in the first year. Then it gets rolled in their salary element, and their salary for the Section 100 budgets gets biennialized. So the only year that they'll have to pick it up outside the budget is the first year. After that, it gets built into their salaries, and it comes out of the general fund, no matter how you look at it. There's no special funds to that I can see in this bill that appropriates to this cost, so it's going to be general fund. The first year they pick it up, thereafter built into their 100 series, so their 100 series will rise automatically when they come back for the their next budget.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would hope that we would move this bill forward. If there is a question as to whether or not we want to have the employees have some skin in the game, that's a relatively simple fix, and we can have that discussion on second or third reading. But for the longest time, I haven't supported any increase in the benefits for the park employees because it wasn't structured, I think, in a way that wouldn't that given us a runaway budget buster. This now is down to where it's reasonable. It gives them the benefits in the duty-related circumstances, so it can't have a runaway budget-busting element to it. It's a good bill the way it stands. If somebody thinks it would be a better bill if the folks out at the parks paid half of it, then that's a discussion we can have later. But I hope that we just move this one ahead.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would hope we move this bill forward. As to the questions about the biennialization, how it's rolled in, we don't see it. If you look at page 2, lines 9, and we had that discussion, and maybe this doesn't get to that as the way I thought it did, but we could sure revisit it if we need to on second reading. But it says, no additional contribution shall be imposed upon the state for benefits provided to peace officers under this subsection. You could read that two ways, and we could sure clarify that to say that it won't be rolled into a biennialization into their salaries.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I think the President may be correct in terms of the profile when this comes up for budget for the next 2 years. I think the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources may well try to add that in. The question I think that this body should be considering is this worth it? This is a benefit that the 21 state park peace officers frankly hope they never have to take advantage of. This is if they're disabled or they're killed for their family. They act as peace officers in the parks. Now, this body has found in the past, previous years, not to let them onto the peace officers' retirement fund because they are not, they're just generally, for the most part, not as busy. But there are times during the year, for instance, what's that lake? Glendo Reservoir on the 4th of July weekend becomes the fourth largest city in the state. And all the state parks during the summer are very busy. And you're dealing with people who are on vacation, who are drinking, and are raucous. Their duties are every bit as rough during those times as any other peace officer. And their lives and welfare are put in danger just as much as any other peace officer. And so, I think even if the President's correct, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on his assertion here, I think it's an expense that's worth it. We're talking 1% for 21 officers. I think on the scale of things and what it means to those officers and their next of kin, I think this is an expense well worth pursuing on the part of this body.
Senator Anderson.
Yes, just quickly in support of the bill, I couldn't concur more than with what just been said by the senator from Sheridan. Within my district is Glendo Reservoir. And if you've ever been on a 4th of July, there are literally thousands of people come from the south in our green state to visit. And there are drugs. There are gangs. There are disagreements over campsites. And to put it mildly, these park rangers are truly enforcement officers. They're very deserving of any benefit they get. They put themselves bodily and their lives on the line with a lot of the activities there. So without rambling, I would just simply say they're very deserving of these benefits. I would hope that you would give it your favorable consideration.
Further discussion. Are you ready for a question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, they do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 58, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 58 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 59, Wyoming Public Television Endowment Accounts, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Ross, it seems to be your morning.
It is my morning, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with the due pass recommendation on Senate File 59, Wyoming Public Television Endowment Accounts, and for an explanation of the bill, I yield to the good Senator from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 59 is in some respects, well, what it actually does is it takes, if you go to page 4 in section 2, what you see there is there's money, this has to do with endowment, the matching endowment and matching funds for Wyoming Public Television. What we've done in that last number of years, we've done that, if you look at section 2, we've done it through various footnotes in the budget and elsewhere. And so what this does is it takes what we've done in the budget in the past and puts it into statute. And looking at these things, we've got the Public Television Matching Fund and the Public Television Endowment Account. It puts it in so those are in there permanently now, and so this creates the statute to recognize and control the governance of that. If you look at there's no additional money. If you look at the fiscal note, what you had is, if I remember right, back in 2000, I think it was in 2008, there was an appropriation of $1.5 million appropriated for Wyoming Public Television. And to that then was to be matched so that when the endowment came out, that would be worth $3 million. If you look at the fiscal notes, you'll see that out of that, there's $2,883,890 in the endowment account now. The amount that's left that would be matched is the $58,054. So if there's matches out there to do that, the total then would bring it up to the $3 million. There's no appropriation in this, but it does simply put in statute and govern these accounts and the matching that was required in the footnotes and just make it permanent under the statute, but there's no additional appropriation for the Public Television Endowment Account in this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 59, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 59 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 60. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan Automatic Enrollment, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Ross, you're probably wondering, is anybody else working?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan, Automatic Enrollment, and for an explanation of the bill, I yield to Senator Hastert. There was no standing committee amendments.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. Senate File 60, Deferred Compensation Plan, Automatic Enrollment. The short version of this, it's a opt out instead of an opt-in, as the, it was basically stated in the committee that people don't fail to plan. They don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. And so the idea here is to get people, new employees that are hired after July 1st of 2015, they have to take an action to opt out of the retirement system instead of opting in. The findings have been that have been shown around the country that people that have opted have this type of plan. They have a higher participation, and then allowing for people to have better, helping people better provide for their retirement, and it's been showing that people haven't been planning as well as they should for retirement. So this helps ensure that they stay off of state assistance programs once they retire. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 60, an act to relating to deferred compensation plan on page 2, states that the new hires after July 1st of 2015 who begins employment will be automatically enrolled and then providing for an opt-out period. And what was stated is that for the 90 days, the first 90 days of employment, the money will be kind of set aside, not really invested in a retirement plan, waiting for to see if they're going to be opt-out. They'll be informed of that they're opted into the plan, and the money set aside for 90 days, and once the 90-day period is expired, then the monies will be, their retirement will then be invested as a, in a traditional manner of an age-appropriate retirement system. That's what is explained through page 2, 3, and 4. And that the notice that the board shall provide on page 4 shall provide notice in writing to employee automatically enrolled, and then what that letter will contain through the middle of page 5, and that it states that the then on to F, where employee enrolled in the program under this section shall have the same rights to participate in the program as other participants, and on to wanted to point out on page 3, back on page 3, paragraph C, that employee automatically enrolled under this section shall contribute 3%. That's the percentage set for their monthly pre-tax includable compensation. That's kind of their starting point, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. And then from there, they will be allowed to set their own in writing, they can set their own compensation level, their own compensation rate. After that, 3% is the starting point, Mr. Chairman. And then the section, important section, on page 7, starting at line 10, allowing for cities, towns, and counties and other political subdivisions that don't utilize the state auditor's office, that they can have their employees automatically enroll also. That's all this is saying, is that those groups can allow for automatic enrollment into the system and providing a mechanism for them to do that. Really that's the in a nutshell, that's the bill. The fiscal note does have a small hit. It shows that because the state of Wyoming does do a $20 per month match, that's the maximum match that the state does, that there is anticipated in the future a small hit to the general fund on that. So with that, that's the bill. It's just a mechanism. It's an opt-in, automatic opt-in, where you have to take affirmative action to opt out instead of the opposite. And just as I said earlier, that they found that people don't plan to fail, just fail to plan, and this is a helpful mechanism for that. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Discussion on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 60, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 60 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 74. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 74, Summer School Intervention and Remediation, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Cole, Dockstader, Pappas, Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
The privilege of the floor.
Senator Meyer, you may.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we have our third group of young Torrington folks here today from the high school. They're down here to take a look at us, tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and I hope you get a chance to talk to them. They're some good kids. And would you please help me welcome them to the Senate?
Senator Meyer, is there anybody left in Goshen County today?
No, we're partying down here in Cheyenne.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Coe.
Moving the Committee of the Whole, rise and report it, do so, do pass recommendation on Senate File 74. It has been read in and deferred to the sponsor, Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I bring Senate File 74, Summer School Intervention Remediation. Mr. Chairman, this bill came as a request from the Wyoming After School Alliance, and it relates to the Bridges Grant funding that's been very successful and been a tool that's been very valuable to our school districts over the years that provides support for summer school programs and intervention programs, which include after-school programs, before-school programs, Saturday programs, and other opportunities for students that might need a little bit of extra help. Well, the earlier statute as it was set up, Mr. Chairman, has been interpreted by the Wyoming Department of Education such that for a student to be eligible to receive funding under the existing Bridges grant for the intervention program, again, that's the after-school type program, they have to have attended summer school before that. Now, that wasn't the intent, and as a matter of fact, I have a difficult time reading it that way. But nonetheless, that's how it's been carried out. So summer school first, then Bridges funds can be available to you for after school programs. Well, since that wasn't the intent and since that provides a loss of flexibility to our school districts and they would like to be able to offer those after school programs prior to requiring a kid go to the summer school program, this little change is necessary to make it very clear to the department that it doesn't matter what order you engage in those programs, as a student you would still be eligible to receive those Bridges grant funds. So it's a very simple bill, Mr. Chairman. If you look on page 2, you see that it's a discussion that's changing the implementation of how the Bridge grant funds are distributed. And in the B section, which currently is specific to summer school programs, we're rolling in what was formerly the C section, which you'll see in the repealer is being repealed, and trying to provide a consistency between the two programs so that they're interchangeably used. You see that this is now summer school programs or intervention programs providing before school, after school, and Saturday school, supplemental extended day instruction utilizing enriched learning methodologies or other remedial methods. That's taken from the C section, which was repealed. Then it goes on to discuss that this can be, as you see at the bottom of page 2 in lines 21 and 22, rather than having the and, which might have been the cause of confusion, there's an or for the subsequent school year for extended day instruction. And then finally, just to be absolutely clear, on page 3 in the new paragraph K, we show that school districts offering summer school or extended day programs shall be eligible for receipt of funds pursuant to this section. I'll note, Mr. Chairman, there's no increase in funds. There's no diminishment of programs or increase in the programs. It simply is the order of possible implementation of the programs that the school districts may engage in under the bridges funds, and I hope for favorable consideration from the body to clean this up.
Senator Bevout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand what my colleague from Albany County just said, but if you look at this and read it, you know, you only had summer programs, and now you are, say, or, and there could be a difference because of the before school, after school, and Saturday school. And I'm just curious as to why you don't think there wouldn't be any additional funding, because you're asking for extended day instruction. If you look at line 22 on page 2, seems to me it could be that if you, in fact, the intervention programs have more time, you could, in fact, have more money. And I'm trying to figure out why it would not be that way.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Ruffus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, one of the key concepts here is that there's no additional appropriation request and that there's a fixed amount of money and a fixed eligibility for grant applications by school districts for the Bridges program, and there's no intent to increase that. It's just a matter of how those districts are engaging in the Bridges program and using those funds. So they might shift to some degree between the summer school and the weekend or after school programs, but there wouldn't be an increase in the utilization of those funds. It simply is restructuring that order of operations rather than looking for any new availability of resources.
Further discussion on the bill? Question on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 69, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 69 has passed the committee of the whole.
Whoop. 74.
No, it is. Excuse me. Senate File 74 has passed the committee of the whole. Since we're moving right along, Senators, I have a quick story. Yesterday, I had my middle son visiting here, and he was up in the gallery with his wife and two children. And I got to eat supper with them last night, and she was laughing, and she told me that the two-year-old, when they first came through those doors up in the gallery, put his finger to his mouth and said, "Look down upon this esteemed body," and he said, "Shh, they're sleeping." True story. I think it was when our esteemed president was speaking on something from the floor of it. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 71. Reading clerk, read in the Senate file.
Senate File 71, Recreation Safety Act. Sponsored by Senator Meyer. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You put the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee in the whole rise and report, it do so with a do pass motion on Senate File 71 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This goes into the area of the statute where we have some limitations on liability for certain things that people do and engage in the state, like hunting, fishing, rodeo, skiing, different things like that. This adds in the words, corn mazes and pumpkin patches. So essentially that's what it does. The amendment is to take out the generality of anything agricultural. That was too broad and too sweeping. Though every farmer and rancher in the state would have loved to have that indemnity and that immunity, but we couldn't go that far. So I would ask that the amendment be read in.
Senator Meyer, I think we're waiting for that amendment to be handed out to the rest of the body.
Okay.
The rest of your body?
It's my body.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I understand. Are the amendments being passed out now? Okay.
That's correct.
Never mind, Mr. Chairman.
I think everybody has the amendment in front of them now. Motion's been made. The reading clerk will read in the amendment.
Senate File 71, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 4.
Litany of things that... Pumpkin? Pumpkin? Pumpkin?
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Senate File 71, ask for the body's favorable consideration. What it does is go into page 2, line 4, and deletes activities relating to agriculture, comma, including. And that was some broad language, problematic in that it offered just this broad sweeping immunity to liability. And so it just getting down to the specific things that we're talking about, corn mazes and pumpkin patches, is what's left. So I'd ask the body to favorably consider this.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment of the Whole? Standing Committee Amendment? Sorry. I'm on medication now today, so be patient. Amendment number 1 to Senate File 71. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's the committee amendment. Standing Committee Amendment has passed the Committee of the Whole. Back on the bill. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question here. This is just another creep into the whole idea of immunity. I mean, everybody comes back. We see this all the time. Every year we see another bill where somebody wants immunity. And we have to decide, is that really what we should be doing? I mean, if somebody hosts a corn maze or a pumpkin patch, shouldn't they provide for the safety of the people that are there? And shouldn't they be responsible if something happens? But basically what this bill does is gives them blanket immunity. I urge your defeat of this bill.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to follow up on that, when you look at the items that for the Recreation Act that we're talking about, we're looking at things, snowboarding, mountain climbing, outdoor recreation, river hunting, river floating. So these are all activities that when you go to engage in the activity, you understand that there's special skill and risk, and it's inherent in the task that you're being set upon. So if you're going on horseback riding, you know that you might fall off the horse. If you're doing river floating, you know that the raft may flip. If you're climbing, you know that you need to learn your climbing techniques and your rope handling skills before you go there. And if you don't, or even if you do, accidents can happen. So now we're taking activities that children, their families take their kids to, going through the pumpkin patches, corn mazes, and you have to ask yourself, what is it about that activity that a parent who's taking their children through the maze knows it's inherent in that activity? The parents are taking their children there. They have every right to believe that if somebody's going to open up their farm or their ranch to a maze, that they need to set it up well. They need to make sure that it's safe for our children. But there's nothing in there inherently dangerous that you know that you should be prepared for and accept that risk by virtue of the activity.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, well, if you're going to be out in agricultural land, doing an activity like a corn maze. You ever been through a corn maze? You can trip over the stumps of the corn stalks where they cut them off to make the maze. If you're in a pumpkin patch, you can trip over the pumpkin vines. There's a number of that kind of risks that are just inherent in going out into an agricultural activity, and one that's been structured this way, and you need to accept them. And the point is that if you don't provide this kind of immunity, sooner or later these things become, they're not overly lucrative. I know the one in my county is used as a fundraiser, I forget for which charity, and you just say, okay, we just aren't going to do that thing because there's too much risk of getting sued in the world. And that's the long and the short of it, I think. We're just trying to reduce that risk of the lawsuit so these activities can continue.
Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill seems to be doing is incorporating things that you have very good control of as the operator. Horseback riding, floating a river, the operator really doesn't have close control. If we give immunity in this case, we're taking something that is closely controlled, pathways are built, it's all within an acre or two, and we're saying you're immune from any wrecks that happen on there. And there's all sorts of wrecks. Tripping over the corn stalks is not going to really rate that high as far as a big wreck, but if they leave a farm implement in the way, somebody cuts themselves severely, if we give them this immunity, they're immune from any responsibility, and I don't think that's quite correct. I think those recreational activities that are spread out of the reach and control of the operator probably do deserve immunity, but this is not out of their control.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, on the contrary, these are neighborhood activities that are very seasonal and one-off activities that I'm afraid may end up befalling the litigious age we have today. It's not like this is a some sort of huge escape from responsibility by big pumpkin or big corn maze or something. These are neighborhood activities that neighborhood property owners put on. And in most cases, they don't make any money off it. And in case of the pumpkin patches, they actually lose money. They're the ones who spent the money on the pumpkins. Kids love going out to do that. The question is, should they be subject, should somebody end up being threatened with bankruptcy over the activities of some other people? Pumpkin patches and corn mazes have been around for over 100 years in this area, and a couple of 100 years if you go back east. And the idea that those activities haven't changed. What's changed is the culture in which we live and the increasingly litigious culture in which we live. And I think that this bill actually addresses that rather than owners of pumpkin patches and corn mazes trying to get away with something and trying to escape liability.
For the discussion on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions that were brought up I'll try to answer. And I'll double check. I don't believe that this relieves the person of negligence. You know, totally. And I'll look at it and double check, you know. But, I mean, I think if you put out, sharp, pointy objects with sickles on them, that's necessarily not normal and usual and customary in a corn maze. But there are some things on pumpkin patches that some of those pumpkins get pretty big, and if you have somebody with a bad back reaches down there and picks that thing up wrong, you could get sued and you could have, I don't know what type of, smart guy that could really get after you on something like that with back problems. But that's basically, we're just trying to keep these things open for the school kids. There's a whole bunch of school kids in my county that use them. It's one of those learning experiences going out there to get kids out of town and get them out in the country so they actually see what's going on out in the country, so they're just not stuck inside the classroom all day. So I think they do a good service in that regard, and educationally and other ways. And I hope that we just move this thing forward.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is truly a square peg in a round hole. And I'm not referring to myself. If you look at this, the way the statute's set up, and some of this is a little repetitive, but it's a little bit different slant. If you look, it's a sport or recreational opportunity. That's what the indemnity or the waiver, essentially, the statutory waiver, if you would call it, is inclined to be. And so you look at the sporting activities, softball, football, soccer, those are all inherent risk. Most of us have played those things. We've watched our kids play those things. And there's inherent risk just in the nature of the activity. You understand when you look at the activity, when two kids are running together at a soccer ball, the fact that they may collide or kick each other is certainly a risk. Or you understand playing football, you understand the risk associated with being tackled or blocking, those types of things. Skiing, obviously, those are things that are inherent in their nature. You recognize what the risks are. Then you look it down to the recreational activities. Once you get to the more recreational activities, starting probably with outdoor education programs, you recognize backcountry. There are obviously certain risks that are available in the backcountry, everything from hiking injuries to being mauled by grizzly bears or other issues, river floating, hunting, fishing, backcountry horse trips, horseback riding. You're looking at those types of things, and there's an inherent warning just in the activity. And so what you're doing is you're saying, okay, if I take my kids to ride in the raft, I understand drowning is a significant risk. And so you're going to make you understand that. And oftentimes when you do this, there's waivers that you sign, even though you have this type of thing, you have waivers that you sign. And that's much different than a school trip to a corn maze or a pumpkin patch. There's not an inherent warning or an inherent danger that you see as you think about a school trip of kindergartners or first graders out to a pumpkin patch or a corn maze. Parents don't think in that context that what is out there. And it's not to say that there's not risks, but what you're doing here is you're saying here that we're not going to start, and we're going to breach, and we're going to start including in this list activities that there's not necessarily inherent danger in, and that's a significant difference. When you start to do these things, it's not unlike in these types of things. You're in the control, particularly when you talk about school kids. You're in the control of the vendor, the person who's there. They're telling you where to go, what to do, and when to do it. And that's different than so much as other sports where you have individual activities involved. And so I would suggest to you that this is certainly different in both kind and degree to the types of activities that this statute is intended to protect against. And so this is a significant, and certainly it's up to the body's discretion whether they do this, but this is a significant policy change in the direction of where the statute and these indemnities are going. Even here, you still can, there's still the opportunities to school trips, to obtain waivers and other things like that. So there are mechanisms to provide and help defer and help release some of the liabilities associated with these activities, but these are certainly inherent and different in their inherent nature, and is certainly a different direction that this statute is moving if we adopt this bill.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out to the body, if you go to page 2 and line 3, I think that policy has already been changed, because when we talk about inherent risk or inherent danger, I think when we included outdoor recreation programs, or education, excuse me, outdoor education programs, what's the inherent risk of an outdoor education program or the inherent danger? So if it is a policy decision that we want to expand this, it looks to me like that previous legislative bodies have already expanded this beyond just inherent risk or inherent danger, because I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how outdoor education programs confers to the somehow to the parent or the general public that there's an associated risk or danger. So we can certainly change that policy, but to reject this proposed amendment to this bill based on that, then you have to go back to the original bill and you have to reject that component also, Mr. Chairman. So I just wanted to point out that inconsistency in the issue of this is a significant policy change.
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. And just a short rebuttal on that. Outdoor education, what you're normally talking there, is not classroom education. Usually it's you're talking about things where we have a significant outdoor education facility in the Lander area, and there's others around. So when you're talking about outdoor education, usually it's you're talking about backcountry, you're talking about no trace, you're talking about survivalist types of things. Those are generally outward bounds, those types of things. There's those types of programs either for youth or for adults. And so there is, I would certainly disagree that when we talk about the outdoor education this is referring to, it is generally out in the wilds, usually in wilderness areas, usually in very, very rugged areas that are remote. And people, I think, I would disagree. I think people understand the inherent differences and dangers associated with those types of activities.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, and just to, not to beat a dead horse here, but is it the inherent danger is in the outdoors or is it in the education program? Because if it's outdoors and that's the only thing that derives these, and my understanding is they grow maize and pumpkins outdoors. So if we go down that, maybe we should look at an amendment as we move forward to say outdoor corn mazes and pumpkin patches. So I guess the question is it outdoor can phase risk or danger? And if it does, how do we segregate that out from an agricultural field to a forest or just open BLM land? So I just have a problem with the idea that somehow if you're outdoor infers some risk or some danger. Now we're saying it's only certain places outdoors. So I just want to make that clear.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a quick example, an outdoor education program, there's a certain school that's held every all year long, actually, over in Teton County, that all the schools around the state send people to at different times. And we had a class there, and I think you go as a sophomore or junior, and they had their outdoor, they were building an igloo. It was the winter program, and it collapsed on them, and they were sleeping in there that night. So there is a certain risk in outdoor education programs.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to address one thing here. The good sponsor of this bill indicated that this doesn't absolve somebody from negligence. That's absolutely exactly not true. What this does is grant immunity, period. So if you are negligent, you're granted immunity, period. That's what it does.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad that the former president cleared that up for me, and I don't have to do as much work now. But the long and short of it is that, yeah, there is some inherent dangers in corn mazes, and if you want to know, ask a school teacher that takes 20 or 30 of these kids and drops them off on a corn maze, and there's another 10 buses there with 20 or 30 kids. They just want to make sure the kid gets back on the right bus on time. And there are some problems there as far as that, and there's a lot of problems, I think, in the areas of pumpkin patches and where there's some inherent problems with just moving pumpkins by a little toddler who can't crawl up under the desk, but he wants to have the biggest pumpkin in class and he grabs it, you know. And so, you know, it just, if you're gonna just go ahead and say, okay, we're not going to do this, then at some point in time, because of the way our society has changed and the number of trial lawyers that we have out there that are maybe just a little bit hungry, you know, I'm just saying.
It's a pumpkin pie.
Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 71, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Thirteen ayes, 15 noes. Senate File 71 having failed a roll call vote, pursuant. Okay, this one right here. So we have to have a roll call. Pursuant to Senate Rule 6 and 5, having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout. Burns?
Aye.
Case excused. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott? Von Platen?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 71 having failed a roll call vote, pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5A, is deemed indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2:15.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Out of that glass. Yeah, I don't even
want you to touch my other glass. Committee reports. Slot. We have some reports to read. Go ahead.
January 20th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 53, Special Election Time Limits, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas and Scott, Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Okay, let's lower the chatter a little bit. Lower the chatter.
January the 20th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 54, election code revisions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Meyer, acting chairman. January the 20th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Persons Election, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Meyer, acting chairman.
Are there any other announcements? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, thank you. Your Committee Number 1 Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Room S1 to consider the following bills. Senate File 7, Tethering Dogs. Senate File 18, Expungement of Misdemeanors. Senate File 21, Theft of Identities for Minors. And Senate File 11, Selling to Junkyard Dealers.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The Senate Committee will meet shortly after the noon recess to consider the following re-referrals. Senate File 8, State Education Accountability and Assessment. Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate. And Senate File 57, School Facility Appropriations. In addition, the Joint Appropriations Committee will meet upon adjournment to continue receiving the governor's letters as we get ready for markup tomorrow.
Other announcements?
57.
Senator Geis.
Your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land and Water Resources, will meet up on adjournment tonight to handle Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments, Senate File 55, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, and Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, has an appropriation on it. I ask that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation.
What was the bill number?
27.
Pardon? Senator Meyer, would you specify in your motion what committee had the bill and to which the bill number and which committee you're asking to be referred to?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Committee Number 8 passed out Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highways. It has an appropriation on it. We wish that it would be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Objection 57 is 27 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee. Senator Peterson.
President, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet at 12:30 today in Room S16 to discuss Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxes, and Senate File 82, Funeral Services Practitioners Act Amendments.
Any further announcements? If the Senate would give the courtesy of the appropriations folks to go through the meal line first so they can get some nourishment. You've heard the Majority Floor Leader's motion. All those in favor said aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2:15.